Welcome back to the Kicks and Picks podcast. As you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, it's just Scotty and I, Nick away on work. Scotty battling through a sinus infection. So we're going to keep this one a little bit briefer than usual, but we will cover at least six matches in this one. This three in Premier League, three in Serie A that we kind of picked out as being ones to keep an eye on. And we'll kick it off, Scotty, in the Premier League on Saturday. We're going to skip over the Friday match of Leicester and Brentford, and it's Everton hosting United. Thing that jumps out at me here, because we know United's been struggling, is Everton plus 150 on the money line. I mean, I saw a meme of it was like, you know, that song "All I Do Is Win," and it was like Sean Dyche, you know, with that song, the DJ Khaled song in the background. So,
well, it's, now it's David Moyes. David Moyes.
I meant Moyes. Yes. I'm getting an old manager mixed up with a new one, but yeah, it's Moyes. Moyes. All he does is win lately. At Everton, it feels like.
I mean, they're the hottest team in England over the last 5 weeks. Only team that has, they have four wins, one draw in their last five matches. The only team that can compete with that form is Arsenal. So you're literally talking about one of the most informed teams, you know, in the country, and you could argue probably in Europe, oddly enough. And by the way, that draw came against first place Liverpool in a 2-2 last second win or draw against at Goodison. Felt like a win for them, you know, getting that equalizer in the 98th minute. In their swan song at home. So it's really hard. Like, you know, looking at the numbers, Everton plus 150 on the money line, draw plus 230, United plus 190. It's first glance, like, it's hard pressed not to just take Everton blindly here, given the form that they're in. And, you know, I've been beating the Everton drum for the last few weeks. I'll keep saying my quote, you know, Everton, not a great club. David Moyes, not a great manager, but when they come together, it just works. And I would be inclined to repeat that today. And I think this is probably the first time that these two teams are facing up, you know, in the second half of the season, where Everton's actually above United in the table. Yeah. Like, that's such a crazy thing to, like, think about in this, you know, fun league season that we're having. But for whatever reason, as bad as United has been, like, this has not been, you know, the early 2000s or even, like, you know, early 2010s United that has finished in the top four, top five pretty consistently. The past couple of years, this has been a pretty bad United side, but even then, they've still dominated Everton in this head-to-head matchup. They haven't conceded a goal to Everton in four straight, and they've scored multiple goals in each of those four games. You'd have to go back to January 2023, where Everton scored one in a 3-1 loss, right? So this fixture has been heavily United through and through, six straight wins for United on the run. And I think that means something. I don't know why. I mean, I think Everton are due for a little bit of a pullback, right? Like, this form is crazy. Like, you know, it pretty much has gotten them out of the relegation battle, so they can have a pretty comfortable March and April, which they haven't been able to have in years. Yeah. You know, they've gotten 13 of their 30 points in the last 5 weeks. Like, literally, like, half their season total of points have come in the month of January and February. But I feel like they are due for a little bit of a pullback here. Now, I don't necessarily think that means that, you know, United are going to come in and they're going to score like two or three goals and dominate Everton, because that's just not their MO right now. But we've seen United handle Leicester in recent weeks, 2-1 win at home. We've seen United play better against Fulham and in their Europa opponents. They've beaten Rangers. I feel like United can pull something together here. They're not going to need a lot of offense in this one. That's been my biggest gripe of United in recent weeks, is that, well, months really, is that their attacking forwards are just not goal scorers right now. They just don't create. And we've seen with Antony and Martial, once they leave United, they seem to perform much more to their capabilities.
Antony cashed him on the weekend at plus three something, whatever he was.
Dude's a monster. Like, he's not only scoring goals, but he's scoring like those, like, really nice,
a nice goal.
Curling goals that you expect him to shoot, you know, with
volleyed
his left foot
the other day.
So I feel like United can probably get a result here with a goal. Whether that's a win or a draw, you know, it remains to be seen. But I feel like United will be able to get a goal here. I think they can probably keep this under as a low-scoring game. I'm looking for the total. Give me 1 second here. I just had it up. Under 2.5. It's minus 145. So you may have to shop that around. But I love the under in this. You could probably parlay this under and United double chance, and that'll probably get you, I'll pull that up. But I don't know if you're looking at anything else, coach, in terms of like team totals or props in this one.
Well, one thing I was going to say is I don't think I've ever seen Beto listed as the shortest odds goal scorer at plus 170 in a match. Yeah. He's
been on fire.
Might be something to keep an eye on. I'm not saying I would bet Beto at plus 170. It's just funny because he was Nick's favorite guy to make fun of for so long.
Yep.
And now he's scoring goals. So that's kind of funny. If you are looking at under 2.5, Scott, I mean, you could go to under 2.25 at minus 110 if you think it's going to be a two goal or less match. Because if you're betting the under 2.5 anyway, you're only winning if it hits two. And here you at least get a half cash if it hits two. So you can still push that with the two to get a little...
The parlay.
No, it's actually minus 125. I was looking at the over 2.25. It was minus 110. So yeah, and that at least puts it at a playable number if it stays 0-1 goal, or you get a half cash on two goals. But yeah, I mean, United's been trending under 4 of the last 5. To me though, I'm intrigued by Everton. I almost err to the draw no bet here. I'd love to see them win at home and take the plus one. Plus 150. At home, but draw no bet at minus 130, not a bad number for a team that's playing well, playing in form.
If you're looking for like trying to chase like a plus number, I think Everton draw no bet is a fine one to chase here, given their form and at home. I'm totally okay with that. Just the way that I see the match going, I see this being a low scoring game. I see United probably squeaking out something here. So what I was looking for was the United double chance and under 2.5 game parlay. That's at minus 105. That's probably what I'm going to play personally, just from where I see the game going. I think that's the one that's probably most likely to hit. I could see this being a 1-0 win, a 1-1 draw, something like that.
Everton double chance and under 3.5 is coming up at minus 125 on DraftKings right now. Kind of like that, because I don't see four goals in this one. I mean, if it goes to four, it's going to be going United's way probably like the first time around. I don't think Everton's scoring a 3-1 or something here.
Yeah, I don't think United has been under four in probably 9 of their last 10 games. Yeah. They aren't a high scoring outfit. Their defense has actually been like decent for what it's worth. I think they conceded 2 goals to Palace, but aside from that, it's been pretty stout. I just definitely see under. Again, if you want to chase the Everton and the higher number here, it does feel kind of like it's a toss up. I just feel like if I know Everton the way that I think I do. They've had a great run. I think they're due for, like I said, a little bit of a pullback, a little bit of a come back to earth, kind of moment here. They're not just going to like keep running with this and go on like this 10 game unbeaten streak where they finish in like the top half of the table. And I think see this as probably a good opportunity for them to kind of drop some points. I think this is probably their first game in the new stadium too, because this is going to be at the docks or whatever. And so it would be a very Everton moment to like have, lose their first game in that stadium. I think the first official goal was scored by some player from Hull who's a Liverpool fan growing up. And he did the Liverpool celebration in their face when he scored that. So just the storylines, it feels like this is going to be a game that United come through. They get either a draw, they get a point out of this, or maybe they get a cheeky 1-0 win.
Yeah.
But if you want to chase the in-form team with the plus number, like that is usually where I would go 9 times out of 10.
All right. So yeah, interesting. They're opening the stadium in the middle of the season. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting timing.
It was supposed to be open at the start of the season, then construction gets delayed, and then they're trying to open it at the start of the new year, and then it just keeps getting pushed back. But I think this is the first game in the new stadium.
All right. So other games on Saturday, we're not really going to talk about them, but Arsenal hosts West Ham, Ipswich hosts Spurs, Southampton hosts Brighton. Bournemouth hosts Wolves, Fulham hosts Palace, all in that 10 a.m. slot, a lot of 10 a.m. games there. The 12:30 game, Villa and Chelsea, that'll be an interesting one, probably goals in that one. One thing that I just, as I was scrolling through, both teams are scoring over 2.5, I think it was minus 145, so it's just a little bit, juicier than I like to play, but that is something I think to keep an eye on. I would even maybe look to both teams to score over 3.5 might be in play there, because Villa matches, as we saw today with Liverpool, tend to go high.
They definitely score, for sure.
So just real quick while I'm on it, both teams to score in over 3.5 would get you to plus 135. You're almost better off just taking over 3.5. It's plus 130, so there's not much value adding the both teams to score there. But just something that I thought about as I was scrolling through. So jumping to Sunday, which was one of the other feature games we wanted, was Newcastle and Forest. Big one, Forest coming off the disappointing result last weekend, from what I remember, right? That was last weekend that they dropped points.
Yep, dropped points to Fulham.
So yeah, it's the Fulham match killed us. So that's a big one for them. Big one for Newcastle because, Premier League looks pretty safe to have 5 teams in now, especially with Serie A kind of capitulating today as a league in the Champions League. We'll get to that after. You know, Forest down 47 in third place. Newcastle down 7th on 41, but, you know, 6-point gap between 3rd and 7th, not a lot. A win here get for Newcastle, and they're kind of right back in it. They're hosting this one. You know, very interesting. Newcastle minus 125 at home. Forest plus 300 on the road. Has the other shoe dropped for Forest? Is that where they're getting to plus 300? Or, you know, what do you see here? Because there's definitely value on Forest, but do we trust him after last week?
Yeah, dude, Forest is in a tough run right now. You know, I still think they have a pretty good chance at qualifying for Champions League, which would be, you know, I think a great thing for the club, team that has history in Europe, you know, going back to the 90s. So getting them back in to the top level of competition there would be, you know, certainly a sight to behold. Getting the five teams from England would certainly help them in that endeavor. But I do think they need to kind of like stop this skid a little bit, right? You know, yeah. In their last five games, they've won two, lost two, drawn one. That's not the greatest form, especially as you see a City team that's starting to maybe pick up their form a little bit. And they're sitting on like the precipice at fifth. Newcastle, we've seen what they can do in their attack when Isak is healthy. But, you know, the defense has been kind of letting them down. Conceded four goals to City last weekend. Looked really, really rough. But, you know, they're certainly a contender for that top five spot. And I would say, you know, in this, I don't want to call this a must-win game for Newcastle in terms of getting into top four, but if you could beat Forest and, you know, close that gap to 3 points on them going before you even hit March, I think that certainly puts a lot of pressure on a, you know, club that doesn't really have the history or the experience, not the history, I should say, the experience in the squad to really get themselves across the finish line in a pretty long season. So certainly an interesting thing here. You know, the question is like, how much does Newcastle bounce back from their match against City? I mean, arguably it's a bounce back game for both, but Newcastle coming home, you know, Forest having to hit the road, the odds speak for themselves. Newcastle being such a heavy favorite, you know, at minus 125, and Forest, you could get Forest draw no bet at, you know, plus 200 or more, depending on your book, which is a crazy number for a club in third. But I don't necessarily think it's, you know, unwarranted at this point. I think, you know, you got two of the more consistent goal scorers right now in the league, and Isak and Chris Wood going up against each other.
Chris Wood, even in that loss, he did cash for me last week, and that was nice.
And it shows both teams to score is minus 170, not really playable. But what I don't hate in this is the both teams to score no draw. That's actually surprisingly a playable number for this game. It's sitting at plus 125 for me in my book. I think Newcastle are probably going to get a win here. I don't think this is going to be like a 2-2 draw. I think you're going to see Newcastle pulling something out at home. But listen, if Newcastle kind of shit the bed and Forest show up and they can get themselves, you know, a handy 3 points like they've been able to do so often this season, you kind of cover your bases. So I see this as being like a 3-1 type game either way. Like I could see Forest really like, you know, circling the wagons and getting kind of a statement win for them on the road that puts them back on course. You know, my inclination, it's probably going to be Newcastle, but either way, I'll cover my bases with both teams to score no draw bet.
Yeah, I also like both teams to score and over 2.5 at minus 110. The reverse fixture was a 3-1 road win for Newcastle back in November. Both of these teams lately have been an over 2.5 type team. 5 out of the last 5 for Forest, 7 of the last 8 for Newcastle, and head to head at 8 of the last 10 between these two sides. I know some of that's disrupted by, you know, one being down in the championship, things like that. But, you know, that kind of stands out to me because the only Newcastle match in the last, I mean, in the Premier League, there haven't been any under 2.5 in quite some time. They did have the League Cup match against Arsenal that was under. But other than that, everything's over 2.5. And only, you know, they did get shut out last week. But usually both teams are scoring for them. And Forest, there's always goals. Sometimes, you know, they did pitch a 7-0 shutout against Brighton and conversely got shut out 5-0 by Bournemouth. But there's a lot of both teams to score in recent weeks for them. So I kind of like that one, too. I would definitely keep an eye on those goal scorers, too. I mean, I know Isak is minus money I saw. But Chris Wood is still getting a very playable number. And if they're going to score, it's probably coming through him.
Chris Wood, just to get a shot on target, is minus 180. Mm. I love doing a couple player shot on target parlays. So you could probably use him in like a 2 or 3 player parlay, depending on what your boosts are, too. You might get some boost for soccer matches this weekend. So if you have like a 3-leg parlay boost, you could throw him in there. That's certainly a playable number for a guy that, you know, is playing a banged up defense in Newcastle. It's going to be leading the line. He's been as consistent as anybody in the league this season. You know, a minus 180 number, it's not exactly like going to print you money, but it's as sure of a thing as you're going to find this weekend in terms of bets.
Very interesting. I was looking on DraftKings when you're on Chris Wood goal score, he's plus 140. But if you go to the parlay builder, he's getting plus like 205 or plus 210, which is interesting.
Yeah, they're baking in some juice for you.
Yeah. All right. The big one on the weekend is your boys Liverpool traveling to City. City sat Erling Haaland today, only down one goal to United. Real Madrid. Turned into a disaster for them. I don't know how much of a chance they had in that match. Ended up losing 3-1. They got a very late goal. By that point, I had already turned off the goal. Golasso show and just watched the Juve match because that was the only one that was competitive at that point. But it was the Kylian Mbappe show. They absolutely demolished City. So City's out of Champions League. And now, you know, not in danger of finishing top five yet, I wouldn't say. They're still, you know, got to be one of the favorites to finish top four. Probably at this point because they're angry now, no midweek encounters. But is Liverpool getting on the right side here? And you got to go to the Etihad, but, you know, Liverpool coming off the 2-2 draw against Villa today, are they getting City at the right time?
Yeah, I think the problem for Liverpool right now is their defense. I feel like they have had, like, two clean sheets in their last, like, 10 matches. Like, they don't do a good job keeping the other team from getting on the score sheet. And right now, the only guy that they can count on week in and week out to create or score goals is Salah, which isn't a bad problem to have in terms of like who that player is. Like he's arguably having the best season of anybody in Europe. But with Gakpo kind of hurt right now, hasn't been available. We all know, you know, Darwin Nunez's is clinical finishing or lack thereof was on display fully again today against Aston Villa. You know, I kind of said that on the pod last week that Luis Diaz was kind of getting a pretty good deal by everybody focusing on Nunez's bad finishing. Kind of turned in a decent performance, I guess, last weekend against Wolves, getting a goal kind of ricocheted off of his waist. But, you know, he's not exactly like that go-to guy that you can count on, you know, scoring week in and week out. So they've definitely been struggling a little bit. Dropped points, obviously, against Everton, dropped points again today against Aston Villa. Tough schedule for them. You know, after this, they have to play at Newcastle, which we just discussed, you know, not exactly an easy fixture in any way. They kind of try to find their way through it. You know, once they get off of international break, the fixture list gets a little bit easier for them. But you don't want to like blow this 8-point lead or 5-point lead, whatever you want to call it.
You don't want to give them any hope, really.
Yeah, and find yourself in like close to even playing field come April. You know, there's a big match against Arsenal at Anfield, Liverpool's home in May that could very much be like the title decider. But if you're Liverpool with the lead that you have right now, like, you should be willing to go into that game happy with a draw. Like if you could get a draw out of that game and you can pretty much have the title, like that's how you should be shaping the season up. But right now they got to kind of turn things around. And to be honest with you, I get it. I see the odds books favoring Liverpool in this one on the road, which is kind of crazy. But I don't necessarily know that I feel that way. Like draw no bet, City at plus 105. I don't, you know, it's hard for me to say this as a Liverpool fan. And if Nick was here, he'd hate on me, but I don't mind that as a pick. Like you're getting City at plus money at home against a Liverpool team that can't keep a clean sheet. So, you know, City are going to score a couple and, you know, point the fingers at who's scoring for Liverpool. Like if you're Pep Guardiola and you just say, all right, we're going to do everything we can to shut down Salah and box him off and let Nunez and Diaz and Szoboszlai score two or three on us, you know, I'm not taking that bet. And you know that Pep Guardiola is going to come with a game plan to completely isolate Salah and just keep him from having his way and having a day at the Etihad. So where else are the goals going to come from? It's going to have to be set pieces from, you know, Virgil van Dijk getting on the end of it. It's going to have to be somebody in midfield, you know, making a play, making a run through the middle and getting open like a McAllister. But I don't see that happening, you know, two or three times. They might get one a goal that way. And then they're going to need forward play from Nunez or from Luis Diaz to create something else. And I'm not willing to bet on that right now. I think with Marmoush getting off, you know, getting off his little, whatever you want to call it, dip in form or getting used to the English league or getting used to City and now scoring pretty consistently. He had a great free kick today that led to their only goal. You know, pairing up him, and I'm assuming Haaland's going to be healthy because he's not really on any injury report that I can find. I think that's a dangerous combo for a Liverpool defense that's been very leaky. So, you know, City draw no better plus 105 is
for sure.
Of course. So that's kind of where I'm leaning towards. I don't know if you saw anything else that you liked. I mean, the team total City over 1.5 minus 125, I think is playable, but it's not the best number.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I thought about it. I'm like, but you know, after what I saw from them today, are they good enough? You know, Liverpool is the league, there are the league leaders for a reason. You know, the only value if you want like a both teams to score kind of prop is the both teams to score no draw. But we could certainly see a 1-1 or 2-2 draw in this one. So it's yeah. dangerous to even play that. I think the best value here is to pick the side you like better and take them draw no bet, because even Liverpool's mm-hmm. -135. So if you think they're, you know, going to take care of business or at least force the draw, you get that protection there at -135. Because I was even looking at the, you know, the Asian total over 3.25 is still -130, and you're only getting protection of half of your bet if it finishes at 2-1 or something, or 3-0. So to me, that's laying too much juice to only get half your bet back in a 3-goal match. So not a lot that I like in this one, unless you're taking, I think, a side with a draw no bet situation.
Yeah, I think another way you could kind of get a little creative. First goal for Man City at home is -105. I also kind of like that. Liverpool have, for better or for worse, been known to concede first in a lot of these matches. City at home, I think they're going to want to try to make a statement early on. And this could be one of those games where if Liverpool want to get a result out of this, they're going to have to weather a storm in that first 20, 25 minutes where like the crowd's going to be in full voice. There's going to be a lot of like urgency and momentum for this City team that's, you know, I don't want to say scrambling to make top four, because they feel like they should be well within inside that range. And as you mentioned, top five is probably sufficient anyways.
Yeah.
But there is going to be an urgency to kind of finish strong. This really is the time of year where Pep's teams typically hit into form. They don't really have a lot of injuries right at this point, so they should be able to kind of make that next step. So I think I do see City scoring first in this. -105 is a perfectly fine number for me to play at this. And then the question is, you know, does Liverpool kind of like circle the wagons? Do they get that equalizer? Can they make a run and put up two or three more after that?
Yeah.
So that I'm not so sure of, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's a big one, you know, both ways. If Liverpool wins this, they're going to feel really good about their chances for the title. Sure. If City wins it, then they feel like they're right back in it probably. And if it's a draw, we kind of stay where we are. And I think Liverpool still is in pretty good position, but it'll be an interesting one. Before we jump to City, ask one other thing that I looked at that I thought was interesting is Brighton at Southampton. Brighton mm-hmm. win in over 1.5 money line total parlay is -125. I feel like that is a pretty solid number there. Just something that jumped out at me as I was flipping through some of the other matches, because both these teams are routinely over 2.5. And I don't see Brighton. I know they drew 1-1 in the reverse fixture, but I don't think Brighton loses this Southampton.
You just got to be careful, coach, because that is technically next week's fixtures. They have a midweek fixture list coming out next week. So Brighton and Southampton both play this weekend as well. So you got to hope there's no injuries.
Oh, that's next week, that one?
Yeah, that's it. You're talking...
Did I go too far?
Oh, no,
Brighton and Southampton.
Oh, sorry.
The Saturday match, Bournemouth. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay.
That yeah, is, yeah, no, I wouldn't trust them against Bournemouth. okay. Different story there. All right, anything else you want to mention in the Premier League before we jump over to Italy?
No, I would just say keep an eye on Arsenal, West Ham. Arsenal, super heavy favorites in this game. Get it. It's at home, and West Ham kind of stink this year. But it's also a weirdly like a must-win game for Arsenal, because their fixture list is going to get very difficult after this game. They're going to have you know, Chelsea, Brentford, Bournemouth, Newcastle all coming up in like their next five or six matches. So there's probably something to play there. If you like how Marino finished the game as their striker, you could probably get a pretty good prop on him. He's +155 anytime goal scorer, which, look, if Arsenal are going to score against a pretty shitty West Ham defense, he's probably going to be the guy. So,
yeah,
that's probably playable.
All right, jumping over to Italy. I don't know if we have to call this a post-mortem for the league, but the Champions League results these last 2 days are leaving a lot to be desired for Italy. Now down to just Inter. Two of the teams were eliminated by Dutch sides, another one by a Belgian side. Definitely not Serie A's shining moment. After the last couple of years, they've been pretty solid as a league in Europe this year. Definitely taking some hits.
Had
the five spots. Having Bologna get one of them certainly hurt the league, because they weren't equipped for Europe. And now you have Juve, Milan, and Atalanta. Atalanta last year's Europa League winners, and a team that, you know, can fly high at times. Humbled by Bruges. Juve lost an extra time today to PSV. Milan, Teo absolutely demolished their chances yesterday with his dive. A match they were dominating, from what I read. So
let me ask you a question, coach, because typically when I'm watching other English clubs in the Champions League, I'm not rooting for them by any means. I enjoy when they lose. Like City losing against Real Madrid today was fantastic news for me. I was very much in favor of it. Looking at the table right now, the team sitting in fifth place is Lazio.
Yeah.
Are you really that upset that these teams are shitting the bed in the Champions League? Are you like upset that it impacts like the Serie A like coefficient at all? Or are you actually kind of like good? Like, I don't want
I like to see the league do well.
Do you really want Juve like making it to a Champions League final?
I mean, if they're playing a City or a Madrid, I will generally root for the Italian side. The only team that probably wouldn't apply for is probably Lazio, honestly. Yeah. But I do want to see the league do well. I rooted for Inter in the final 2 years ago. I always want to see Italian teams do something because the league gets a lot of shtick, and at times for good reason. It's been down in recent years. A couple of years ago, we had three teams in finals. Last year, Fiorentina made another final. So things had been looking up. I don't know about now. You know, going forward, it's all on Inter in the round of 16, and they have been hit or miss, as we've seen with last week's loss to Juve. Roma has to get it done against Porto just to get to the round of 16 in the Europa League, and they could possibly draw Lazio in the round of 16, which would make for good listening, and good listening here with Nick and I probably, but it would also hurt the league too, because then you're losing somebody by the round of 8. And Fiorentina, they've started to kind of fade a bit, so I don't know how Italy's going to do the rest of the way, but I do generally, and Nick does the same, tend to root for the Italian teams in Europe.
I get it. Like, shout out John. Like that's how it should be. Like, why are you, like, I get that you want your league to look good, fine.
I think part of it for me is I can't imagine rooting for
Arsenal,
team.
City, United, Chelsea. Like, I could never root for those teams in the Champions League to do well.
I don't know if it's because I started watching the Italian national team before I started watching the league. So, like, my loyalties are to Italy as a whole and seeing Italian players do well, maybe. But yeah, I see why teams, you know, if you ask people in Italy, they're rooting against probably any other of the big clubs, right? For the most part. So I would have liked to see the league get five spots. I don't think Roma would have been in a position to get the fifth spot this year.
But if it meant that Lazio gets that fifth spot, would you still root for it?
I mean, if it means Lazio getting the fifth spot, maybe not, right? Because, you know, the last couple years, Roma was, you know, especially last year, the first year they did five spots, Roma was kind of in play for the fifth spot for a while.
Roma's not in play for it, no offense.
They're not this year. So, yeah, maybe that, in those terms, maybe it changed. But I do tend to root for Italian teams to do well.
No, I need more people like John out here being a little bit more ruthless about their competitive teams in their league falling short in international play.
I'm sure most of our Serie A listeners would probably be the opposite of Nick and I. So, no big head-to-heads this week in terms of like even top eight or top nine in Serie A this year. It's pretty much all top half against bottom half sides. Even Udinese, I think, is in the top 10 right now. So they're hosting. They're at Lecce on Friday. Venezia hosts Lazio, and what now, you know, with the fifth spot very much in flux for, between Spain and Italy, Lazio probably going to have to keep winning to finish top four. That's a very winnable match for them. Parma hosts Bologna, another side who's maybe got ambitions to return to the Champions League that maybe is damaged by not getting a fifth spot. Torino hosting Milan on Saturday afternoon is the first one I'm going to stop at here. Those first three were between Friday afternoon and Saturday morning here in the East Coast. Milan, dreadful way to exit yesterday with Teo taking that red card when Milan seemed to be in control against Feyenoord. Plus 105 on the money line, really, really good number on them. But mentally, are they going to be right to go to Turin and get a result against the Torino side that's been tricky at times this year?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because I think this Milan team has been as inconsistent as anybody in the past like couple of months. Like, some games they look really good, right? When they had when they played Inter a couple of weeks ago, they pulled out a 1-1 draw. And, you know, we had Martino on here talking about how this was going to be a waxing, that Inter was going to come in and just smoke Milan, and you know, they had a pretty decent result out of it. And you know, technically they're four games unbeaten, one loss in their last seven games, so they're doing okay, but Torino seems to be kind of like a bogey club for them. For whatever reason, you know, aside from their one match in the second half of last year where they actually beat Torino pretty handily 4-1, they struggled with Torino. They drew 2-2 against them earlier this year. They had a loss 3-1 against Torino last year. Torino beat them, you know, while being down to 10 men a year prior to that. So this isn't exactly a team that Milan have a good history of beating, or good track record of beating in recent history. So with how inconsistent Milan are right now, Would it surprise you to see them drop points against a Torino team that's, whatever, like, calling them mid-table is generous, yeah. right? Like, that would be a generous thing.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. They're coming off a 3-2 loss to Bologna, which I regretted not taking Bologna because it was a very playable number last week, but that game went back and forth. Torino made it interesting. In fact, even took the 2-1 lead in the second half and ended up losing. They gave a penalty and an own goal to lose that match. They've been tricky for sides this year. And with the performance Milan had the other day, they're either going to come out really fired up, right, and take it out on Torino, that frustration, or it's going to be like they're still down on themselves a bit, and they just kind of either lose or draw here, right, and they kind of let it get away. I mean, Torino, before that loss to Bologna, had gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches unbeaten in Serie A. 6 of them were draws.
A lot of draws.
A lot of draws. This being a home match makes it, I think, even more in their favor. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still unbeaten in their last 4 at home. But again, 3 of those 4 were draws. One of them was against Juve. You know, their last home loss was Bologna back in December. So Bologna kind of has ended both streaks lately for them. So I don't think I can trust Milan here. I really don't.
I think the way that I'm playing this is I'm going to do 2 plays. Normally I'd try to parlay this, get a little extra juice, but I think it's okay playing both of them. I would play under 2, not do a quarter goal on either side. Under 2 is plus 125. This feels like an under game. Mm-hmm. Both teams are averaging about 1 goal conceded per match. I think Torino is maybe a little bit above that, given their slightly more permeable defense than in recent years. But I still think under 2 here feels like a pretty safe play. Like, I don't see this being a 3 goal game by any means. And I'd honestly take Torino plus half a goal at minus 130. So you play both of those separately. If, you know, you get a 1-1 draw, you push on your under, but you still get a little money in from your Torino half a goal bet. But if Torino can pull out, you know, a 0-0 game, like it happens in Serie A so often, or a 1-0 win, you get a little double up.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the angles you're going here. Just look, and we could be way off. Milan could come out and just kind of find it and be like, you know what, we're pissed about Tuesday and we're just gonna come out firing. But I've seen some Milan tweets about, like, they had the Kostas celebration in the locker room after the Supercoppa and saying it felt like ages ago, right? He had just come in, won the Super Cup. You know, take that for what it's worth. Those kind of tournaments have turned to almost like exhibitions because they go play in Saudi Arabia or wherever they are. Yep. But yeah, I definitely would not trust them, even at plus 105 on the money line, with it being a good number. I don't think I could trust it. And I do think it stays low scoring. It tells you right here, both teams to score is pretty much even at minus 115, minus 110. And if both teams score, I could very well see a draw.
Yep. This game streams draw too. Like, if you wanted to do a little number, like the draw line is plus 215. Like, we know Serie A has its fair share of draws week in and week out. Like, you could probably pick 3 or 4 games every week and, you know, hit on half of them. I think this is a pretty good candidate for a draw as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The draw line's a pretty good number. I just tried to do, parlay the draw with, I meant to do under 2.5. Hold on. That's what I wanted. That's why I didn't edit. I was going to look at the under 2.5 and the draw line, because I feel like this is a very likely low scoring match, like you said. So if you get the Torino double chance, where'd it go? And under 2.5, that's plus 165.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That works for me. Like I said, normally I do parlay those things, but
yeah,
I'm fine kind of just taking 2 separate ones in this case and trying to double up.
All right. Another team that, well, finishing off Saturday's Inter, big favorites against Genoa. Then we go to early on Sunday, the 6:30 a.m. Eastern game. It's Napoli plus 115 on the road at Como.
Crazy.
It's a good number on them. I know they've dropped matches in recent weeks,
yeah,
which is probably part of it. But you're still getting the league leaders at a very playable number here.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the number one Napoli hater for no good reason, right? Right, and I'm probably going to advocate for you to take Napoli money line on the road here at plus 115, because if Nick was here, he would tell you the same thing I'm about to say, which is you have a plus number on the league leader against a team that's currently sitting in the bottom 13th, half of the table. Yeah. Don't overthink it. Plus 115, you take them. you know, yeah, Napoli have dropped points recent weeks. They've been drawing, you know, mostly because of their defense, conceding a couple goals here and there. Is Como going to come out and, you know, put a number on Napoli's defense? I don't think so. They might concede like a goal, but.
And Napoli's still unbeaten in 10, right? It's just they've drawn three in a row.
Right. The risk here is the draw, right? That's 100% why the number is priced the way that it is.
Yeah.
So to me, I think the risk of the draw here is a 1-1. How does Napoli defeat that? They either get two goals or they can keep a clean sheet. That's the way that I see it. And I think Napoli getting two goals is actually a pretty, I don't want to say it's a pretty, you know, certain thing to happen. The number is plus 120. So that's actually, you know, not a bad number either. But I think more often than not that they're going to get a few good chances here. It's just a matter of can they convert them.
Yeah. They won 3-1 at the San Paolo in the reverse fixture.
They did.
And like you said, outside of the back-to-back weeks where they drew Roma and Udinese 1-1, they put up two on Lazio last week, 2-2 draw. Put up two on Juve. They put up three on Atalanta recently, two on Verona, three on Fiorentina before that. So a lot of multi-goal matches for them recently. I think you take both those bets, honestly, as separate picks. I think you take the team total at plus 120. I think that is a very good number. And I think you take the money line at plus 115. Now, if they put up one goal, you might lose both of those because maybe it's a 1-1 draw. Maybe it's a 1-0 win and you at least get, 0.15 units or 0.15 units going your way with the money line and you don't cash the team total. But I don't see how they lose this match, honestly. I think they need a win here, knowing that they've kind of been slipping lately. Yeah. Como's there for the taking, I think. Como's been better. They're in 13th. They're safe from the relegation zone. That was something we talked about early in the season with the big number they were getting as a newly promoted side. But yeah, I think when you get the league leaders at plus 115 against a team they've already beaten this year, I think you take it. And when you get a team total like that at plus 120, I think that's another one you have to look at and strongly consider.
Yeah, and I think if you want to take some goal scorer props, it's a good game for that too. I mean, Lukaku is sitting there at the shortest end here at plus 240. Hasn't scored in three matches, fine, but, you know, is he due, right? I'll do my Nick impression. Nick's not here. Yeah. Is he due? It feels like that's a guy that's probably due for a goal. We know he likes to score against the bottom half of the table. Simeone and Raspadori. Raspadori, I think, scored against Lazio. You know, is he going to wind into form a little bit here?
One to keep an eye on that Nick's been talking about a lot lately is Nico Paz at plus 450. Scored last week, cashed for Nick there. He called that one last week. I think he was around plus 500. He doesn't score every match. He's not an out-and-out striker, but he's scored enough this year that if you bet that every week, you're definitely up money because he's always getting these plus four, plus 450, plus 500 numbers. Can he do against the league leaders? We'll see. But it's something definitely to keep an eye on, I think, there because that's a really good number on him.
And I'm trying to find his boy McTominay to assist. Give me 1 second. He's got to be down here somewhere. How am I not seeing him?
I saw his goal number. They don't always put every player's assist line.
That's crazy. They must not have
which is annoying sometimes.
Because, yeah, they don't have it. That's crazy. I was going to give it. I was going to say McTominay assist, but they're not going to give it to me.
Yeah.
Not in the books. They knew what I wanted. All right. Well, I can't give you that number, but.
They don't have McTominay who starts every match, but they've got.
Unbelievable.
Simeone at plus 800, often does not center.
Maybe they know something. Maybe there's a reason why he's not in the book right now. But yeah,
all right.
I guess to wrap it up.
Value on Napoli here.
Got to take Napoli. If you want to take a shot on Lukaku or some other goal scorers, by all means, I think the numbers are certainly juiced up enough for it to be worth your time.
Yeah. All right. Verona hosts Fiorentina. I think a very playable number on Fiorentina, minus 115 there, but buyer beware because they have been not as consistent lately. Empoli, Atalanta is another one now. Atalanta coming off a big loss, Scott. And it was pretty resounding the way they lost that match to Bruges in the end yesterday.
Bruges is tricky. Don't let Liverpool beating them 2-1 in their league stage match distract from the fact that they were like unbeaten, they being Club Bruges and like 19 straight coming into that. They've been a tricky side all season long. But yeah. Still, if you're Atalanta, you got to expect, like, hey, that's a pretty fair draw to get into. I mean, I guess we'd be in the round of 16. I think that's what the next stage is officially called. Not getting it done. It's going to be a tough pill for them to swallow, especially after, I think it was last season, they knocked out Liverpool in the Europa League, right?
Demolished them in the semifinal to win that.
Certainly had
Leverkusen.
The idea of getting another scalp, maybe albeit of smaller variety in Club Bruges,
yeah.
But not happening this year.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what's really playable here unless you think Empoli can get something out of it, maybe on the spread. Empoli plus one is minus 115. But Atalanta's so up and down that I don't know where I would go with this one because they're not playable on the money line.
I will tell you what I'll take. I'll take Atalanta win an over 2.5 game parlay at plus 135. Atalanta, the easy over club, they've been doing it all season long. 54 goals, 26 conceded. Really, the question is, like, I think Atalanta are winning. They're a heavy favorite for a reason. Can Empoli get a goal against this Atalanta team at home? I think yes. You know, Atalanta's been known to concede here and there. They've obviously just come off of a probably a mentally draining midweek match. They're going to have to rebound and then get on the road to go to Empoli. I think Empoli can get a goal in this, and I think Atalanta are going to still win. This feels like it's going to be a game that, you know, Atalanta scores two or three goals, which they've done in four of their last or five of their last head-to-heads. So give me that parlay at plus money. I'm happy with it. I don't think it's you have to think too hard about it.
Yeah, I just look back. I didn't even realize the reverse fixture was a 3-2 Atalanta win back in December, right before Christmas, where Empoli actually took the lead at Atalanta in Bergamo. And then Napoli, rather Atalanta, ended up taking care of business in the end. But
And
yeah,
as we so
maybe.
often say, Atalanta, a better team on the road than they are at home. So
Tend to be, yeah.
I think this is a game where you see Atalanta maybe getting two or three goals. You know, the team total is you have to play it at over three in this game for Atalanta. You know, over,
Yeah.
sorry, over 2.5. Over
Which
one
I
and a
don't know if
half
I
is minus
trust that.
170. Over 2.5, it's a lot, but, you know, plus 185, right? Like, I think that's where it ends up. But even a 2-1 win here, that gets you that parlay. So I think Empoli is going to get a goal. I think Atalanta are certainly going to get two. You could argue maybe three. So if you wanted to do a little sprinkle on that, by all means, half unit here. But yeah, I think the Atalanta and over 2.5 is a pretty straightforward parlay to hit on this one.
And then the only other one that jumped out at me, in terms of like straight money lines, Juve minus 125 at Cagliari kind of jumped out at me. I know we're not gonna spend much time on this match, but Juve beat them in the Coppa Italia back in
Yeah,
December four
man,
nothing.
Juve to not draw is just not a bet I want to take right now.
I
Like, I
know.
get it, but like, dude, they draw all the time.
Yet they beat Inter.
Yeah,
Go
they beat
figure, right?
Inter,
Like,
and then, yeah.
and then I'm looking back at the 1-1 they had back in October, and that was a Cagliari penalty kick awarded by VAR in the 88th minute to salvage a point. And actually, both teams got VAR awarded penalties in that match, but that's when Juve was really the
Yeah.
super draw team. But I'm not saying I would take Juve minus 125. It kind of maybe depends how my weekend's going since this is the, what is it, noon on Sunday match. I kind of have to see how things are shaking out, and maybe if I'm up some money, that's worth a shot. Actually, this is the late Sunday match because Roma plays on Monday. But might be worth it. Might be worth a look
Juve
as the
over
weekend goes
team
on.
total over 1.5 is minus 115. Like, you know, if you're thinking money line, are you thinking they're winning 1-0? Or are they getting a couple?
I mean, they nearly shut out Cagliari twice already this year, right? Late penalty in that first one. I mean, I think they
I mean,
could
listen, a
get
one
it
nothing
done one
scoreline is
nothing.
a very Juve scoreline. Like, I'm not
It
gonna,
is, yeah.
yeah.
And
But
Cagliari's
just
not the
the
best. I
fact that
mean,
money
it's a
line
tough
is
place to
minus
play, but
125, but the over 1.5 is minus 115, like, you know, I tend to go towards the minus 115. It's just a slightly
yeah.
better number. And, you know, that 1-0 win, it's a very Juve scoreline, but
Yeah.
if they're gonna win comfortably, they're gonna get two.
And it's something tough to do at Cagliari because Cagliari is tricky at home. They're not the easiest team on, you know, when you have to go to Sardinia, there's the travel involved. A little more than most of the matches in Italy. Most of them they travel by train. That's one that you have to fly across you know, to the island
That's
over
fair.
there.
That's fair.
They tend to give big teams trouble. I'm looking back at their last four home matches. They have not great results against the bigger clubs. They lost a lot too. Got hammered by Inter, beat Lecce, and beat Parma. So up and down. Yeah. Juve's been in better form, but yeah, it's tough. It's tough because they you know. They beat Como recently on the road, but yet they lost to Napoli. So yeah, I would say that you can't trust the money line to some extent. Like I said, I'd have to be up a pretty good amount to maybe take a chance on this to close out the weekend.
Yeah, and see how well they recover from getting
Yeah.
their asses whipped by Eindhoven, you know.
Yeah, that was an interesting one today too. I mean, that was the match that they had their chances to level it again in extra time and couldn't, or not even level it, just get a goal to get back
Yeah.
to level the overall aggregate and couldn't. So that'll be interesting to see how they mentally recover. Yeah. That's what we got in those leagues. I just flipped through the Bundesliga quick. Nothing really jumped out at me in terms of like, you know, favorites or anything. A lot of big spreads there, you know, in terms of big time.
Nick and his favorites. La Liga picks are not here.
Yeah.
So I know he would have hit me with like a Real Betis or something.
But... yeah. Well, maybe I wonder, I'm just going to check real quick because Anthony's been killing it. And he's cashed for Nick a few times in a row. He cashed for me last week because I jumped on board. Who do they play? Batis is at Getafe.
They don't have goal scorer props up
yet for them. They're not up yet for La Liga. So check Batis back.
Plus 100 on the money line. Why not? Draw no, sorry, not the money. Draw no
draw bet. No bet. Why not?
Let Anthony be the hero.
All right. So I guess we'll leave it there. Definitely keep an eye on some of those goal scorer props as they come out. Guys like Chris Wood, who have been cashing for us. You know, Anthony here. There's a couple other guys around Europe that I'm sure Nick will have plays on. Maybe he'll tweet them out.
Coach, hit us with the Roma versus Porto feelings before we head out.
I am, as we left off on Cross Roma versus Monday, cautiously optimistic, having the home leg second. I think Roma's been playing very well. They actually have the most points in Serie A in the last five, and I think in the last 10, they're like second most points or something. So the form's been good. The home form's been good. Little unfortunate not to come away with a win last week at Porto. They were like inches away from scoring a second goal, had a corner kick saved, and then Porto went down on the ensuing second corner to go down and hit on the counter. So that was disappointing, but that's a place Roma's had a hell of a hard time. I remember watching them just completely capitulate at Porto twice when they had when they were the home team second both times. So having the home leg second, I think it suits Roma. Dybala is fit. Hummels is fit. You know, they got to rest Dubic this weekend. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not saying they're definitely going to win. I would never say about Roma this year.
Can they get two goals over 1.5 for -120?
I think they could, and I think they might need to. I think they might need to if they want to win in regular time.
All right. That might be the play then.
-130 on the money line. I kind of, you know.
Well, that's what I said. Take the over 1.5. It's -120.
I'm probably going to get suckered in there to some kind of play. But yeah, I kind of like that one there. Ajax at home is an interesting one. Even money against Saint-Julie. I don't know what the aggregate is on some of these matches, though, off the top of my head, which is why they could be even money at home. But I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm hoping I'm coming here next week talking about back-to-back wins against them and Monza and you know, just feeling good about Roma a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Always a crapshoot. All right, so we thank you guys for tuning in. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to give us a follow on there. If you're listening in, we are on YouTube as well. If you haven't watched us on there yet, we do live stream around 8:30 every Wednesday night. And we'll catch you guys again next week.